How's everyone doing today? Good. So, what's that all about? Are we talking about something specific? We're doing a Q&A? What's it called?
Webcomics.
Just about webcomics? All right. 99% of webcomics suck. The other 1%, we own them. That should do it. All right.
Good time.
All right, so you guys want to do like a Q&A type dealy? That sound cool?
Yeah, that's probably the easiest thing. Just, I think, with like... Yeah, so if you have a question about our comic or web comics in general,
or about
beer,
life.
Anything.
If there's any like, you know, like financial issues going on you want to talk about, personal problems.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, you have problems. What's up?
Why is Dan's at the meaning of life 42?
Nerd. Funny story about that movie, actually. It was a really bad movie, right? The Hitchhikers? I think we're all agree it's a shitty movie. Yeah, it was a shitty movie. But, watch it high, and I swear to God, it is the best film. It was robbed of the Academy Awards. It was crazy. Okay, who has a real question?
I have very low expectations for movies.
Who has a question? I would like to answer. You in the green shirt and the face. Life mostly. Ooh.
What's
up?
That's better.
Right? No, I like it closer. At least I could do came from. Just like, honestly, at least I could do came from like shit talking in bars. That's where it really came from. I'd had the idea for a while, and everybody was doing, like, at the time, about a decade ago now, everyone was doing these slice of life webcomics, and they're mostly like boring because the people writing them never like went out.
Yeah, if you want to write a slice of life, have a life to slice from.
Yeah, do something, right? Like go out. Don't just like sit at home. And listen, I'm sure that you sitting in front of your computer for 14 hours is super fascinating. I don't want to hear about it. So yeah, so I just kind of went from there. Least I could do was mostly an exercise and seeing if I could do it. Next question. Did that answer well? Are you satisfied with that answer? If you had to rate that answer from 1 to 5, what would you rate it? Alright, no more questions for you. Next guy. Yes.
How's the Kickstarter thing going with the At Least I Could Do series?
I put a huge down payment on my house, so there's that. It's At Least I Could Do pilot is actually coming along fantastically. Is that a word?
Yeah,
okay, cool.
It is now.
It is now. It is today. It is today in Ottawa. It's really coming along fantastic, actually. It's going to be done by the end of the year. We're finally... Thank you for the smattering. The script's about 95% done, and I'm being... What?
I'm just hitting you because it's not 100%.
No, but it's 95% is pretty good. Ow. It's close to 100%. Alright. Now we're moving on to casting, which is quite difficult. Because apparently you guys all have opinions.
What, you're actually listening to people?
I'm not listening, but it's. Because here's the thing, right? It's not like. If it was just a blind fairy thing, if it was just our money, you know, fuck you guys. But the fact of the matter is, you guys have actually put $110,000 into this.
But they are trusting us to do the right. Well, people want Neil Patrick
pressure.
Harris. What's his fee?
So we actually talked to Neil Patrick Harris's people, and we could have him for Rain. The problem, he wants $300,000 for the pilot. So you guys are going to have to pony up a little more.
Yeah. Like, all the Kickstarter money, and all a whole bunch of other money, and there would be no other voices and no animation.
It would just be Neil Patrick Harris talking and me doing this. But the pilot is coming. It's really coming along well. In the end, we have a complete budget of about $450,000 for it, with blind ferret money, with government money. Thank you, Canada. Thank you for those paying taxes. Super appreciated. And yeah, so it's by the end of the year it's going to be done, and hopefully we'll move to series soon after. Next question, please. Don't be shy. Come on. Yes.
Looking for group.
Don't know it. I know it.
You did the little Richard
Yeah.
You had mentioned something about a possible animated movie.
About 5 years ago? Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Any plans? Anything? Is it on the back burner?
No, it's on by no means on the back burner. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this great country of ours, but the problem is because our market is so small, everything, every film, every TV, everything gets funded at least 30 to 40% by the government. In order to get that funding, you have to like jump through hoops like a monkey. Do monkeys jump through hoops?
Yeah. Why not?
Really?
Why do you guys? I have cats. What do you?
No, yeah. Right. So it's the average span in Canada to go from concept, let's say, to film is 5 to 8 years. That's the average. It's ridiculous and it's slow, and I did not know that when we started in 2008, but I know it now.
I mean, I think part of the big difference with the Least I Can Do animated is that we're doing it 100% Canadian. It's a smaller
project. Yeah, it's one of the biggest problems that we faced with the LFG film is that we casted Richard. We always casted Richard. He was this nice fellow. He was in a song. His name is Dave Mitchell. Great guy, great voice. I pretty much made the character based on his voice. That was always the plan. The problem is when you want Canadian funding, they want X percentage of the work that has to be done in Canada. So the voice talent costs us more. So it's just...
Yeah, it's this whole jumping hoops with international rules in Canada. Whereas, Least I Could Do, we've got a Canadian animation company.
It's like
Canadian money. It's
like filing your taxes every day. That's what it's like. Except you don't get anything back. Next. Come on. Yeah.
I was just wondering about the gutters.
Yes.
What sort of, like, when you go to San Diego and New York and other, like, the large industry cons, what sort of reaction do you get from the industry people about what you're doing?
Haven't been sued yet.
Although they sent a very nice Christmas.
That's true. We did get a nice warning letter from Marvel. Oops.
Officially...
For the most part, honestly, about 99% of the time, everyone is in on the joke. We don't do it out of malice. We do it because I genuinely love the comic book industry. I love the stories. I love everything about it. But it is a comic book industry, so there's going to be a lot of shit to make fun of, right? Like everything Marvel is doing. Forever. So there's a lot. So, for the most part, everyone's like behind it, and they're fans. And every now and then we get, you know, the odd asshole who, you know, threatens. But I'm Jewish. What are you going to do, right? I'll sue back.
I mean, for the most part, they walk up to him at the table and shake his hand and laugh their ass off and tell him about which ones they printed out because he put the... Dan fucking Didio came up and was like, this is hilarious, I printed every one. And I think
he's a big man, by the way. Dan Didio, when you're sitting behind a table and Dan Didio comes like this on your table, I'm like, oh, this is it for me.
But all right. He was the first one we caricatured and we couldn't get an artist for it because everyone's like... I might want to work for DC. I don't want to piss them off. And Scott Kurtz went, I fucking work for nobody. I'll do it. And he loved it.
When we first started doing the gutters, nobody would draw them because everyone was so scared of not getting work. And now everybody will draw them. So it's good. But yeah, I really thought Didio was going to punch the shit out of me. Like, really.
You love it. And if you're a potential artist, there is a submission link on the gutters page. Go down to the bottom, submit your artwork. It's part of the philosophy of it is that it's a great art showcase.
Next question, please. Yes.
I've actually got two questions.
Holy shit. Well, tell you what. Let's start with one. If I like it, you can go two.
If a tree was a tree, what kind of tree would it be?
That's a weird question. What's number two?
Number two is, what's the hardest part about making a comic, a web comic, or any sort of comic for you guys?
Mostly it's masturbating in my office during the day. The problem is, I have a glass desk, right? Arbor. Is that even a tree?
No.
What the hell? Arbor tree? That's not a tree?
No, arbor is just like where they have trees.
What's a tree? Cedar. Cedar's a tree.
No, he'd be a hard tree.
Why do you have to like lick your lips when you say that?
I'm making a sexual... sexual reference, an innuendo. He'd be hardwood.
I got it.
The question next time.
It was a good question. The hardest part? There. I read Pinchos for a living, man. There is no hardest part. It's very much fun what we do. I love every aspect of it. If I didn't, I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't be doing it.
I'd say the hard part would just be starting to do it and then continue. I mean, at this point, we've been doing it for so long. When we started, you were worried you wouldn't have 100 jokes in you.
Yeah, I was.
You know, we're well past that worry point.
Almost at 3,000 jokes.
Just for least I could do.
Yeah. That's 1,500 penis jokes. Yeah. On average.
But I mean, that's. It's that momentum. It's probably the hard part.
Even now, you know, we'll start a new project, a new property, and it's hard because you just like there's nothing that scares me more than a blank page because apparently I'm expected to fill it. But when you have something new, that's untested, that's new, you're like, is anyone gonna like this? You know, like I'm doing a kids book, for example, with Rebecca Drystadt. She does Tiny Kid Teeth. She's a fantastic artist. It's the first thing I've ever done, you know, for kids, because obviously most of my humor is pretty inappropriate. But I wanted to do something that my son could actually read, when he can read.
Beginnings is okay.
He can't read, but he's two.
No, but you can read beginnings to him still.
That's true.
You can read beginnings.
Problem is, he likes to rip up the pages. He's pretty destructive, my kid. I don't know where he gets it from. What was the question? Shit. Oh yeah,
Bear.
The hard part. So when I first started writing this book, and I just sat there and I stared at the screen going, "What the fuck am I doing?" And nobody's gonna like this. Nobody. And then we worked on it for about 6 months before we released a full page from it, and people really liked it. And I was like, "Oh, okay." And now it's easier. But yeah, the hardest part is starting.
Thank you.
Yeah, you should quote me on that. Fuck. You're all staring at me. It's weird. Next question, please.
No, think how much creepy it would be if they all suddenly turned around and faced the other way.
They're not going to do it because they're lazy.
No, but that's like Blair Witch creepy.
Like if their heads like spun
like
around?
Their heads just went...
Well, after I shat myself, I don't know if we do that. I'm just saying,
there's creepier than them staring at us.
Well, yeah, if you're going to do like... Give me a question, please. Yes, my dear. Yes. I was young, I was stupid drunk, and I thought it'd be funny to put a bra on my head.
He no longer drinks tequila.
Yeah, that's a bad drink.
I'm the only one who drinks tequila because apparently I don't over drink tequila. So.
Yeah, tequila when I was like 10 years ago, that was my poison. And every time, I remember once it was a New Year's, and I drank a lot of tequila, and then I woke up, and I was lying outside the pharmacy. I'm like, oh, fuck, and my ass was killing me. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to get me tested. I was okay. I'm okay. Next question, please. Yes. Sometimes, yeah, they kind of like sometimes I'll think of an idea for, you know, at least I can do in general, and then I think, you know, it'd be funner if Rain was saying it when he was a kid. So I kind of have this giant file where I have all my ideas, and then I like some of them go to beginning, some of them go for main, least I can do. So it does influence a lot, but I'm trying to keep beginnings as its own standalone thing. So there's not much in terms of like continuity. Like you're not going to see a lot of that going forward. Like, you know, but it's still the same people and it's the same relationships. It's just like to me, the least I do beginnings is its own entity. You know, it's the Sunday fun strip that we can do for all ages. Next question, please. If you guys don't ask me, whoa, shit. If you guys don't ask me questions, I'm just going to tell like awkward stories to make all of you feel weird. Watch. Wait, hang on. Oh, okay.
Can you describe your writing process and drawing process at all? And do you think it's different for webcomics
In terms of writing, I write for print, I do web comics, I write TV, film, like, I'm doing it, you know, it's all the same. My process is I sit in front of Microsoft Word, I type obscenities until I have an idea, then I erase the obscenities, and then I... Writing process is boring. tell your process.
My process, I don't think my process is any real different for print. I mean, I get the script, I sketch it out. I've got templates for the different strips, just in terms of page size and stuff. And then I lay it out. It's layout, sketch, tight pencils, inks. For LFG, I send it off to Ed, who, you know, colors it in Photoshop.
Oh, sorry, you're too lazy to color your own work? Is that what happened?
No, I'm too busy.
Oh.
I was having mental breakdowns. Because you
see, you just made it awkward for everybody.
I wasn't really having mental breakdowns, but my family was starting to miss me. Even though they know the back of my head real well.
Not anymore.
So I think the only difference with the bigger difference with webcomics is they tend to be 100% digital, just for I think the time frame. I shouldn't even say that. There's nothing holy about being digital. And there's more people working digital than traditional print. Some artists now are actually doing their sketches digitally, like in Manga Studio, printing out the blue line and then inking it so that they still have original pages to sell. That's one thing about working digital, is I don't have that as a separate revenue stream. But some artists, like Cam Stewart, has given up doing traditional at all, because he just can't keep up with the schedule. But it doesn't vary much. It just depends, like, if I get a 4-panel script for Least I Could Do versus a serial, you know, several panels or several page script for traditional print. And then whatever tools you choose to do. Like I said, more professionals are moving to Manga Studio, discovering it as a great professional comic tool. But just as many are still still traditional, or a combination of both. Coloring is pretty much 100% digital, though.
You keep talking. I gotta take a picture.
Okay. Next question.
I was waving at the camera.
Oh, he's waving at the camera.
First of all, the picking people to the questions, that's my job.
You told me to keep going, and...
No, I meant... Oh, I thought you were just going to keep talking about whatever it is that you do at home.
He has no fucking clue what I do at home.
Well, it's really hard. I send him a script, and an hour later, I get a finished call. I just assume it's Adobe.
It makes me cry. Yes, you, sir.
Have you ever been... got any offers for syndication?
Would you want our shit in your paper?
No. No, syndication is not an option for us. And syndication is shrinking horribly. It's become a minefield of legacy strips. It's very hard to get new work in print. There are new strips, but they tend to be in much smaller markets.
That's the same
and
shit.
They're all online. And it gets even harder to wade through syndicated strips.
They're so...
I'm an independent lady living a cutesy lifestyle. Thank you, Kathy.
I totally didn't realize you were talking about Kathy. I thought you were just making like a breakthrough for everybody. Right? When I first started, my big dream, because I grew up like everyone else. I grew up on, you know, the Calvin, the Hobbes, and Doonesbury and all that shit. And I really wanted to, you know, I wanted to be in the newspapers. Because you've made it, or so the thought process went back then, you made it when you hit the newspapers. Now, it's a different market than it was 40 years ago. It's very, very different. And now, all these guys in the newspapers are all coming to us. How do we make it on the web? How do we make money? How do we do this? So it's quite a change. But I think, though, you didn't ask me this, but I'm going to answer it anyway. I'm going to pretend you asked me this. One of the biggest problems with newspaper strips is that they haven't changed in 50 years. It's the same content. There's very few stuff that's edgy, that's new, that's anything other than what it was, you know, with
And it's been marginalized. It used to be an event where the whole family read the funnies. I mean, you got the old-timey early newspapers where you'd have a full double-page, four-page tabloid spread of large print, full-color comics. And then they got shrunk, and then they got shrunk, and then the attitude was comics are for kids, when adults still read the comics, but kids don't read newspapers, but somehow there's this attitude that they're for kids, even though you're getting these, you know, slice of life, you know, young family with kids, stay-at-home dad, working girl in the city, Far Side ripoff. And then you've got the legacy ones.
You got to remember, guys, that when Lara started reading comics, it was on the Abacus.
Abacus?
It's ultimately the old-timey thing I can think of.
You couldn't have gone with cave walls.
That would have been funnier, actually.
Yeah.
Missed opportunity. Next question.
He wasn't doing obscenities first, so he wasn't warmed up.
You can point to this one.
Yes, dear.
Nice fez.
Thank you, dear.
Where can I buy it?
LFGcomic.com. Please buy a fez. Guy with beard.
Hey, yes. Is it easier for you guys to make a new story or to go and tribute on the culture?
Both, really. When a story arc is going, it's very easy to just kind of, you know, because when we do a storyline, we kind of map it all out, so we know point A and point C. It's just a matter of filling in, you know, all the B shit. But doing a one-off is just so random, you know. So it's really, like, for me, it's about the same. I enjoy both. I'm sure you guys have noticed is when I do like a really long storyline, afterwards I'll take like a week and just do just random, you know, whatever pops into my head in the shower. Yes, you in the back with the face.
You were just mentioning about, like, when we were growing up and reading newspapers, how there's been such a shift with the web and being able to distribute versus the old way, the more traditional way. Do you see, from your experience so far, anything on the horizon that would require you to make a major shift in what you're doing right now? Like, do you see something like, oh, this could be something that we need to plan for, and do you have a plan for it?
Yeah. I'm fortunate that before I got into the writing penis jokes game, I was in business. I was a business management consultant. I'm not sure what it did, but it paid well. So I'm always of the belief that you either evolve or you die. So we're constantly looking, you know, what's next, what's the big thing. So we're mobile phone shit is only going to get bigger. So we've just put in a shit ton of money into developing all the apps for all of our properties, and we're going to keep pushing. You know, we're going to do the iOS, Android. We have a video game that we'll be announcing in the next couple of weeks. It might just rock your world. It's a pretty ridiculous game.
I just heard about this 2 days ago. But it was just like, and I don't even speak video games, and I kind of started talking and went, oh my God, and my mind went, why haven't we thought of this yet?
Sorry, I just had to read this. I got a text message from Moss, who is one of
at the booth.
Our guys in the booth. He wrote, a kid in the bathroom just a kid in the bathroom just exclaimed, ooh, hot water. And Moss says, how sad must his life be? So yeah, so thing. How do I segue from that? So like, honestly, there's a lot coming up. Mobile stuff, tablets are making a huge impact. Like, fuck, Apple sold what, 50 million iPads?
Yeah.
Like, more people are using the web from their phones than they are on their computers. It is changing. So you have to adapt. You have to, you know, keep going forward. We are getting back, obviously, into animation, which is a big thing. So it's, yeah, you just got to keep. But I'm always worried about the future.
And next week is Pony Week, at least I could do.
He's kidding. He's kidding. We're not doing that in My Little Pony. Any of you guys like that brony shit? That's weird. I'm just going to say it. I'm sorry.
They're
going
to kill you.
I know, but it's weird. It's weird. I can say it.
Question?
happy. Have you ever done a story where you just realize, okay, I think we've got a bit too far with raising this, you suddenly realize, hey, I'm going to start juggling fetuses or something.
Copyright, 2012, Blind Fair Entertainment, juggling fetuses.
Not yet. His question.
Oh, so we can do the juggling.
Depends if the joke's good.
What's it? That's the joke.
How does that lead up to the joke? He's just juggling fetuses.
Here, watch. Context. Empty panel. He's juggling fetuses. I just painted you guys a nice picture.
Send me a script for Monday.
Done. But seriously, we own that now. That's clear, right? There's been times where I'll send something to Laura and be like, did I cross the line? And he's just like, yeah, fuck it, let's find out.
Our philosophy's pretty much been no hesitation.
Yeah, just honestly, we really, I believe that if you're going to make fun of something, you got to be able to make fun of everything. There can't be, you either do it all or you just, don't do it. You want to dish it out, be able to take it.
Except for Muhammad, praise be his name.
Yeah. We're scared of you guys. They kill cartoonists. Plus I'm Jewish, holy shit.
I can't get into a joke. I've said.
Yeah.
We've done Catholic, we've done Jews, we've done agnostics and atheists. It's like you should be doing. He's like, no fucking way.
Yeah, we'll make fun of everybody, but yeah. I'm kind of attached to living.
Guy in the back.
It's weird, right? Because I get you guys never like love, like you guys never go nuts for the things that I think you're gonna go nuts for, and you never get offended when I think you're gonna get offended. Like I will make like anti-Jewish joke. I'm Jewish, I can make him. He's Christian, we make those jokes. We'll make like horrible jokes about like Jesus being nailed to horrible things. But
and it's like fine.
Yeah, fine.
And
then you guys don't bat an eyelash. But we say something about like Star Trek, and holy shit!
Oh my God. You guys are like, remember the time the girl, the lady who returned the book?
Oh yeah, because
she bought the book, and it was the story arc where Rain was dating the really young gymnast, and he woke up in the middle of the night with a boner, and so he thought he'd try and sleep with her while she was asleep, and she woke up and said, don't. And this woman came like on the Friday and was like, oh, I love your stuff and I bought the latest book. She came back the next day like all angry.
She was like shaking. She was so angry.
Because she thought that was a date rape thing. It was like, no, that was him being a horny, stupid guy thing, but whatever, here's your money back. And we had sold out of that particular volume. And before like money could change hands, somebody was like, I'll take it. And it was another woman, like her age, her demographic, like, no, fuck, it's funny. There's no gauging the mass response.
You just, you write something, you gotta amuse yourself, and you kinda hope for the best.
Yeah.
But it's mind-boggling the shit that you guys will get like passionate about, and the stuff that like we're so jaded as a society that we just whatever. Like, really, we made fun of horrible things. But,
Touch the pop... There was a recent pop culture thing. I'm trying to think of what it was. And I went to the website. I was, like, so pleased with how it had turned out. And this is why I don't read the forums, because I just start raising my blood pressure.
I can't read the forums because the youth of today can't spell. Like, fuck, what? Capitalize. It's a name.
Yeah.
Capitalize it. I. And it drives me, like, when, if my kid ever, like, texts me something when he's older and it's, like, not, like, a full word, I'm going to take away his, I don't know, what can I take away?
You have to take away his phone.
I'm going to take away his bed. Yeah.
Sleep on gravel.
Yeah. Let's
put gravel down.
Here, hit some nails. Sleep on that.
Sleep on that.
I'll teach you to spell better. Next question, please. All the way in the back with the beard, mustache.
Um, made that whole pun on the hand joke when you first introduced the
ad. Oh.
Yeah, I...
No, because we're not reading the
That's
forms.
The thing, we don't read... The problem is, I don't believe in making a comic strip by community. I think you guys come because Laura and I do a half-decent job, and I want to continue doing that, so I have to trust myself. The second that I start doubting myself and going with, you know, what the masses want, or the different, it's just not going to end well.
I mean, we're not above a little bit of pandering every so often, or more likely fucking with you. You know, there are times when he's written something and I'll just decide, I'm going to have Benny touch this person. Maybe it's an emotional thing. Maybe it's like before Kale and her were actually hooked up. Just a little tease or a little side boob or something like that. And know that it's out there and it's driving the shippers crazy. But we have to please ourselves
shipper
first.
Shipper shouldn't be a term. I don't like that.
It is a term.
That shouldn't be a thing.
It is a thing.
I'm going to erase it.
Good luck.
It's erased.
I've had friends say, hey, did you read? And I'm like, I don't want to hear slash fic, Kale. No. Yeah. It's out there. Just accept it and ignore it. You're wrecking my denial, man. I've built the wall. But I'm saying, like, we write to please ourselves first. Because if you try and write by community, you'll never please anybody.
So really, what we do is masturbation. We're just inviting you all to watch.
That's why you have a glass table.
Right?
A glass
table. Yeah. Somer, what are you doing in there? Mother?
Morgan.
I'm actually that quick. Oh, next question. Dude.
Yeah. Well, like you just said,
you write
or you do this to please yourself first. Does that mean that when you guys are making a comic put online, you make sure that you like it first before you put it out there?
It's the same attitude that we have with any of our merchandise or anything it is that we produce. If it's not something that I would use, wear, look at, enjoy, I'm not going to produce it. It has to be something that... Seriously, buy his Fez because I'm sick of hearing about it.
I've been throwing tantrums for a year to get this done.
Make my Fez! Make my... Nobody's going to buy it. People will buy it! Yeah, there's a huge Fez market.
It's not... I never said there was a huge Fez market. I just said there's a market.
I'm looking at... I'm going to be in, like, you know, Mexico, sipping tequila. They'd be like, hey, well, how'd you retire? Fucking Fezes.
Wave of the future, people.
Yeah, and tiny little cars. Next question, please. I trust my gut, and if I write something, I'll read it over once. If I'm happy with it, I just ship it off, and that's it. Because if I sit there and I go over, I will agonize over like stupid like punctuation, how he's saying this, and does this sound like more like rain? Or because when we first started out, one of my biggest things was I don't like comic strips where all the characters are interchangeable. You know, they all speak the same way, so you can literally swap them all out. I want to have each character have their own voice. So if I sit there, if I analyze it to make sure that I'm actually keeping that, I'll drive myself crazy. So I write it, scan it over, send it off to Lar. If I trust him that if something is off, he'll tell me, or he'll just fix it. No, he hasn't figured out how to use the phone yet, so we're good. How do I use the computer? Next question,
like
please.
Mr. Burns. Hello.
You're talking about digital being the way of the future. Just maybe question my...
That makes you think, what's that movie where it's Wave of the Future? Wave of the Future.
The Aviator.
Aviator. Fuck, I hated that movie.
With digital being the way of the future, why would you go and open 2 comic book shops?
To prove a point. I was sick of hearing about how nobody can have a comic book shop and you know, have it be profitable, or you can't, you know, digital is killing comic book shops. I wanted to understand it, and I wanted to prove that it could be done, and it can be done. So I can either bitch about, you know, how retailers do business, and I can keep going like everybody else does, or I can put my money where my mouth is, open up a store, and see for myself. And if I was wrong, if it had folded within the first 6 months, it'd be like, fuck, you guys are right, it's hard. But you know what? If you cater to the reader as opposed to the collector, you can make a comic book shop work.
Have you been to the fourth wall? It's gorgeous. It is. It's not your. I mean, there's a place, I guess. I mean, there was that culture of going into a second story or a basement comic shop that's all long boxes and cramped aisles and digging through for filling in the holes for your collection. And then there's the fourth wall, which is spacious and well lit, and you get a pull list and you get your current stuff, but it's got like, it's like the dream library. It's got every collection, every trade,
and it's
every
clean, and there's like leather couches, and there's nothing in the store that you cannot open. If you're dropping $20 on a graphic novel, why can't you open it? You want to flip through a few pages? Fuck. I hate going to the store like, you can't open that. Well, I'm not going to buy no.
Yeah. You can browse it, and Moss and the staff just know their shit backwards and forwards. Like, you can chat with them. You don't have to find them in the back because they're putting stickers on Mylar bags.
Plus, only 50% of the staff are sexual offenders, so we really try to even it out.
Giving back to
them. Next question, please. My dear. So we've worked with, we have a deal right now with Comixology, so all of our stuff is going to start appearing there. I love the app. I love reading comics on the app. I think especially the new iPad, I think it's beautiful. I'm not going to start doing stuff like, you know, putting our stuff together in PDFs. That seems to me like a waste of time, where you can just go to the site and it's all there. But you know, the Comixology, we're doing something with Kobo, Amazon Kindle, we're doing stuff. So yeah, we are going to be doing more. Next.
You. When you started out, what steps did you go through for to get as popular as it is today, all your comics?
My mom hit the refresh button a lot. it just takes time. You know, you focus on the product first. You make something that you enjoy and something that's hopefully other people enjoy and find funny. And word of mouth will eventually kick in. I'm a firm believer that if you make a solid project, something that's, you know, whatever you decide it is it entertaining, informative, comedic, dramatic, whatever it is, you know, pick something, stick with it. And if it's good, I believe that an audience will follow.
It's also consistency. Like, think about the blogs that you get versus the RSS feeds that you drop off because they haven't updated in 3 months. You know, it's the people who deliver, you know, consistently, whatever, informative, entertaining, that you can rely on, that you get used to, that becomes part of your routine, and then you start telling other people about it. It's like, oh, I read this on Bad Astronomer, or I read this on whatever, or I, you know, saw the great new least I could do if you read this. And that gets passed around.
Next question. Spidey.
Do you guys read other people's white comics?
No, they all suck. Yeah.
Yeah.
We do. We read a lot of them. I read them. I flip through them because I like knowing what everyone else is doing. I'm super nosy. We also, Blind Ferret works with a lot of different comics right now, so they're also part of the Blind Ferret family now. So we read a lot. I probably read about 15 a day, maybe.
I don't read as many as he does. I read. Yeah, I probably read like 5 or 6 web comics, and then I read about another dozen syndicated comics.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Old.
You read Get Fuzzy.
Get Fuzzy is awesome. I'm not going to sit here and listen to your Get Fuzzy bat. It's not. It's syndicated in my soul. Next question. The hat. So I what's funny is I was in business management and I had taken a job offer with a law firm. So I was running the law firm for about 2 years, and we started Least I Could Do about a year into it. And slowly but surely, I realized how much fun it was, and working a law firm kind of sucks. So what happened was I decided, you know what? it's getting an audience. Things are starting to look up. Let's take a chance. I have enough saved up that I can live, you know, in my shitty apartment for a couple of years. And let's give it a go. Yeah. And if it works, it works. If not, I tried, right?
It started out just as a personal kind of shits and giggles. And it was sort of that awakening of like, oh, maybe we can do this all the time.
Did you just refer to it as an awakening?
I guess I did.
It wasn't the hand of God. I realized I could write funny penis strokes.
Why are you reading that much depth into anything I say?
Did you say awakening?
I have a purple beard. You should not be taking me seriously.
Yeah, right. Point.
I use old-timey words.
Yeah.
What's your both favorite top three comics out of the year?
Huh. Good question.
That's a good question.
I'm confused.
I don't know if I'd say I don't do favorites well.
No, no. Who am I?
I mean,
shit. Okay. We're gonna hold on to that. We're gonna go with a different question. We're gonna come back. Okay, so remind me. Hopefully you'll forget.
Okay, my daughter's going to kill herself.
What's that?
I've got Danielle on my Twitter. I'll send her if you guys
want. Yeah, forget her.
Oh, my daughter's going to kill herself.
Well, okay.
Apart from Muslim jokes, what other written or drawn material do you refuse to publish?
Katam? So, Christians, right? You guys do this crazy shit. Where you go, you have crackers in church. Right? That's crazy shit to me. You know, so you have this delicious little, like, you know, little cracker thing. It's got sour cream and onion. It's crazy. So I always refer to it as the Jesus cracker. He flips his shit at me.
I didn't flip your shit, but I said, for me, that was not...
Yeah, he says, I'm not doing it.
It was also repeating a joke that you'd written, like...
Well, I forgot that I just written it. Jesus cracker is a gift that keeps on giving.
I didn't like the Yeah, I got no problem with the juggling fetuses. Yeah. But
see what I mean? Like, everybody's line is very, very, very different. But perhaps when he's done juggling, he can have a cracker break.
Or not.
Next question. Yes?
What's the Red Bull to script ratio?
Usually 1-to-1. 1-to-1.
That's right. When you bring him a Red Bull, you've made a script happen. An angel gets its wing.
Do it in the back.
So is the Red Bull like a legit addiction, or it's just like...
Oh, it's like my crack. I'm addicted.
Do you go like on withdrawal?
I get such headaches. If I don't have Red Bull, I'm like a crack addict, like lying in the corner going,
This is the best. We were at no, not for me. He has a couple a day, right? But his wife, the ER doctor, makes sure he only has a couple a day. Except when we go to cons and she's not here.
And I'm a free spirit!
He'll drink most of one, and then one of you guys will bring him a cold one, and he'll leave that half-drunk one aside to have another one.
Because that way, I can tell her I just drank two.
But at our first Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle a couple years ago, he was so buzzing. He had like 8 in the afternoon. And he was just like... Let's go, we're gonna go to dinner. And he races out of the building. In Seattle, they have mica crystals in the sidewalk. So in the street lights, they glitter and sparkle. And he's like racing out, and we get, and he bursts through the doors, and he breaks to a halt. He stares at the sidewalk, and he's like, did you guys see it too?
I was tripping balls.
It took us a second to realize, it's like, He's seeing trails.
It was crazy. It was like sparkly. This is awesome. But yeah, I'm pretty hooked.
A couple weeks ago in Calgary, he asked for water. So he's like, are you okay? It's like my left arm's tingling. I think I should just...
I'm just, when I get to the point that I'm convinced that I can like phase through time, I've had enough.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we email these guys all the time. Every now and then they'll send us a case, I guess, to get me to stop emailing them. But yeah, we've done like a couple things with them in not Montreal, but yeah. So we have time for two more. Let's go. Two more questions? Two more questions, sure. I didn't hear. Least I Could Do really grew on its own. It was organic. It grew over time. It really, the fans Least I Could Do, they're the ones that grew Least I Could Do. LFG, worldofwarcraft.com linked us a second page, and holy shit. I'm like, okay, we're done here. We have never spent any money on LFG advertising because we've never had to because Blizzard, like, loves it.
Yeah. It was so weird because, like, we started in, what, November?
Yeah.
And we just, like, once a week. January, we had this, like, conference call. This is our game plan for the year. We're going to do this, Least I Could Do this. LFG was just a side project. And then it was like, I got a call a couple days later. It was like, we got numbers coming in. We got to rethink everything.
Well, it's like, holy, it was our sixth update. And we got something like 200,000 uniques for a sixth comic page. And we're like, okay. This shit's going to pay my mortgage. One more question. A lot of pressure. Who hasn't asked a question yet? Hey, here's a plan. Fuck off. I don't know. You have funny hair. You. The weirdest shit I ever got from a fan? It was our first Comic-Con. The guy shows up with a dildo. And he wants Laura and I to sign it. And I think he was, like, expecting us to, like, hesitate. And I'm like, shotgun balls.
There's no way to sign a dildo without looking like you're going down on it from some angle.
I'm like, fuck it.
So we have these pictures of, it's like he's, and I'm trying to sign the shaft, and it's like looking at me and pointing at people. Do we have time to tell the Kale Love Doll, though?
Yes.
Do we have time for, like, one quick story?
One quick story. This All is right. The weirdest shit people have given us, but this was a weird shit that happened online. Actually, first, is Princess Magpie here? Okay, no. So Princess Magpie.
Sorry, you know that's not her real name, right?
That's her username.
Okay.
That could be her real name. I don't know her personal. User called Princess Magpie. But the thing, all right, there's a site called Fandom Wank. And
yeah.
I have a friend who reads Fandom Wank, and she sent me an email like, oh my god, you gotta read this shit. And I go to this person's the link she and it's a LiveJournal account for Princess Magpie, who loves Lisa, loves Looking for Group, but her LiveJournal is all about her relationship with her spiritual lover, who some spirit that has some kind of name, and I'm like reading this weird chick going, okay, it's just some big crazy who has a dream lover, who has, at the bottom, incorporated itself as the character of Kale. From Looking for Group.
Wait, it gets weirder. Go.
So since her spiritual lover now has a physical look, she decided to take it to the physical level. So she built herself a Kale cushion for her to consummate her physical relationship.
She's fucking a pillow with my character on it.
And there were pictures of this thing. It was like two pieces of fabric and then drawn on it with puffy paint. And she said, you know, I chose this picture of Kale looking surprised because it expresses innocence. And really, this picture of Kale kind of going, which I felt was very appropriate. And as disturbing as it is.
I think, ladies and gentlemen, we are done. We are going to be at booth
305.
Shit. Really?
Yes.
Huh. We're at 305. We're over there. Please come by and see us. Thank you, everyone. Have a good show.